What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes.
Coming at you 5 days a week, even though it's raining outside today.
It's raining outside. We're 6 to 8 feet away from each other.
Yeah.
It's, you know, quarantine weekend.
It's a good time. We're going to be kicking things off today with a little look at the past.
Yeah.
Some of just our favorite kind of Clippers playoff performances. Obviously it's one segment, so if we missed your favorite playoff performance,
send them in.
Also, we might have already talked about it on another episode, so like I feel like there's some key ones that we're not going to talk about today because
we
just talked about them already on the show.
But send your favorite ones in to @LockedOnClips.
Yeah,
we can talk about highlights, whatever, it'll be a good time.
Yeah. And then we've got the Freshies Forgotten Player Edition.
Yes, the opposite of the Freshies.
The oldies. And then we're going to wrap things up with some shavings. There's some disturbing news about Staples. Danny Green throwing shots at the wall for no reason. And some Mitchell and Ness requests.
Yeah.
So all that more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so everyone is – I mean, I was in full-on old highlight YouTube mode.
That's solid.
Yesterday.
That's a good place to be.
I was – Yeah, it was. It was in a good way. You know what I mean? It was one of the good highlight trips. But I was just thinking about old Clippers playoff performances. And we got like four on here. In chronological order, which I think is sweet. I'm going back to one of my favorites, 2012. Kenyon Martin, Game 7 versus the Memphis Grizzlies. Clippers win 82-72, because that's how basketball was.
Hell yeah.
Off the bench.
Easier to count, buddy.
Yeah. Off the bench, he put up 11-10 on 71% shooting.
Love it.
For the year, he averaged 5-4. Only three players in double figures in this game, and that was CP3, Swaggy P, and Kenyon Martin. This is just such a funny – I feel like this is a game that would happen to the Clippers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is –
this was a weird series.
Yeah, from an aesthetics – from a basketball aesthetics series, maybe not the most enjoyable.
I mean, especially the way Memphis played at the time. I mean, that's like the I mean, that's the heart of what that the identity of that team became, and that was kind of like slowing it down, messing it up. Man, we had some great battles with the Grizzlies.
Yeah, and they were like some of the stuff. I mean, Chris Paul had 19, Blake Griffin had 8, DeAndre Jordan had 0. He went 0 of 2 on his 2 attempts. So, yeah, not an aesthetically pleasing series, but, I mean, he absolutely – him and Nick Young and Mo Williams were the only weapons off the bench. I guess Eric Bledsoe had 8, which is nice. But, yeah, that's a very thing to happen to the Clippers that was nice to see happen to someone else.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, shout out Kenyon Martin.
Shout out Kenyon Martin.
Super – insane career, but an awesome career.
Cool career. Yeah.
What do you got for yours?
Next chapter.
What else do we got?
Well, so I like that we kind of covered a bunch of different eras of this. So I had to go with 2014 Jamal Crawford. I was talking to somebody. It was right before – I think it was the last time we were at Staples, and they were like, I don't really have that great of memories of Jamal Crawford, which I disagree.
Wasn't it that Suns guy?
What's that?
Wasn't it the guy who worked for the Suns?
Oh, I don't know. Anyway. Maybe. Irrelevant. We're not naming names on this.
Look, man, I'm in quarantine, dude. I'm trying to figure shit out.
But yeah, so super tight series, as you'll remember, with the Warriors last time. I mean, until the Raptors, that they were defeated in the postseason.
Yeah.
Game 7, it was a narrow margin of victory at Staples, and... man, Jamal Crawford came through off the bench, played just under 30 minutes, 22 points, splits of, listen to this, 58, 50, 100.
That's good. That'll get you the dub most of the time.
And I guess, I mean, he would go on to have some solid play for the Clippers. I think he still won one more Sixth Man of the Year after this, didn't he? Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He won in 15-16.
2014, yeah.
But I would say that this is maybe the peak or like the final plateau maybe of like his like competitive or quote unquote,
I think peak's the right word,
or like quote unquote like kind of meaningful basketball on the sort of end of his years. Because the following year he had better playoff numbers. We were eliminated in the first round.
Yeah, so you just mean in the sense of like,
I mean, like
important, like
yeah. I mean, game fair. Seven, you're a difference maker. I mean, that yeah. kind of basketball.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this That's to me would call. Be like the plateau of that.
That's a good call. Good dive on that one. I'm assuming we can find that on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I'm not sure if you can find the pure highlights of Kenyon Martin in Game 7 versus the Grizzlies. They might be out there somewhere. Kenyon Martin probably has those, actually. next one, I posted this on the Locked On Clips Twitter.
You got an interesting one. Yeah.
Yeah, this is 2015. Game 7, Blake Griffin puts up 24-13-10 at Staples to get the Clippers in the next round, where, of course, nothing happened.
Oh, that was the year they won the chip, right?
Yeah, that was 100% the year that happened. Now, and I know...
The lone Clippers championship yeah. of 2015.
And now I know that this also coincided with a monstrous CP3 performance.
Well, that's what I think is interesting about this one is
an absurdly good CP3 performance.
Yeah, this gets a little bit points, swept under the rug.
5 of 6 from three. He shot 69% overall. Insane.
Yeah.
That's not. I'm not saying that that wasn't a good performance.
He didn't have a triple double though.
I'm not comparing it to it. I'm like they can both be really good. But Blake getting the triple double. This feels like this isn't talked about as much. I mean, obviously, because there were some other events that happened in this year for the playoffs that I don't remember personally. and, like, I don't know. Blake was kind of doing everything. I've watched the highlights a bunch since then, since I've had some time on my hands to enjoy, you know, our homes. But, like, he's hitting from everywhere.
Yeah, I like that you put just inside three.
It's really funny because if you look at it, he's literally like a step inside the three-point line.
Well, and I looked at
and they're giving it to him.
Yeah, I looked at the box score for this, and he only had 2 3-point attempts.
Yeah,
missed both, but
yeah, but like he has so many almost threes.
Yeah,
which is really funny.
Definitely starting to stretch the range.
And like the Spurs were trapping him kind of, and like sending two guys at him, and he obviously dealt with it well with the assists. Like
yeah.
It's cool. It's cool to watch. It also is kind of sad to watch, you know. But, yeah, I think it's kind of not talked about much in terms of Blake's career.
Yeah.
There's a lot that's not – there's a lot of good not talked about with Blake's career. And I think this is one of the games specifically.
I agree. That's a great one. Also, yeah, I got an interesting note in here. Kawhi only had 13 in this one.
Oh, yeah. Which is kind of like a fun crossover. And also, J.J. Redick played 41 minutes in this game. I think the team set the record at the time for threes made in the playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
I think J.J. might have set the Clippers record for it. But, yeah, that's a fun one to watch.
And then we got a wrap on last season. I mean, one of the most memorable games of recent –
of basketball history.
Yeah, of basketball
Watch
history.
These highlights a ton, too.
The 31-point comeback.
For
and
sure.
There's so much that you can dissect. There's a lot of game balls to be given out. In this
oh,
one.
Yeah, I'll tell you that. Yeah.
But one that kind of, I don't know if it surprised us, but it was just impressive, like kind of diving over the highlights with a little bit more of a present scope. But game two, Jamichael Green.
He was huge. He started the whole thing.
He had 9 points in the third quarter alone, which combined with Lou Will's 17 that quarter. I mean, they clawed us back into this thing.
It's when you watch the highlights, like I think the first video, it's like a 10-minute long video on YouTube. Watch it. It starts with like Jamichael making like this mid-range jumper, and you're like, oh yeah. Like this is how, and then like he gets like a couple of these rebounds, and you're like, oh man, like Jamichael was huge in this comeback.
He was all over this one. I guess this one stands out just because this was, I believe this was the game that prompted him into the starting lineup. If it wasn't that, then maybe it was the game
yeah,
after.
For sure.
He ended with 13 in this one, 7 boards, steal. Single assist as well.
So, like, not, again, like, not that stat Philly uppy.
No, but if you watch,
but the
if
timing
you,
of everything.
Yeah, the time, like, it was just it was just timely in its occurrence. And Jamichael as a player kind of blossomed in this playoff series.
Yeah.
You know, albeit only six games, he had career highs in playoff games. In two games of this series, not even including this one.
Yeah. He was crazy efficient, too. He was 5 of 6.
Yeah.
So this was when we were getting those Jamichael games where it was like, oh, he went 8 of 9.
And, yeah, we had to talk about this one just because it stuck out to us when we were watching the highlights. But also –
I mean, we have to talk about, like, yeah –
Lou Will had 36.
Yeah, Lou had 36. Lou had 30. He had 11 dimes. Like, everyone should just watch. Go ahead and watch this game. Gallo, 24. Shamit with the dagger.
Yeah.
Everyone should just go watch the highlights of this game. Zoo getting those crucial 8 minutes of play.
Really, really great stuff. I mean, Lou had 30-plus in both of our victories in this playoff series.
Yeah.
And that's all that you really need to know about.
Wilson Chandler had a buzzer beater in this one, too, at the end of the third. He hit that buzzer beater. That's a pivotal buzzer beater.
Yeah.
That's I believe that was his only shot that he made in this game, was that buzzer beater.
One of the only shots he made as a Clipper.
Actually, true. Close to it. Let us know your favorite playoff memories. We definitely missed some.
I mean, this is one segment.
Yeah, this is one segment. Send them our way at Locked On Clips. If you have any firsthand, experiences, if you're at Staples or anything, or at the old LA Sports Arena,
please preface them with memories. The memories.
Yeah, please preface it with the Big Sean song. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking the freshies, but mostly guys who used to be on the team.
All right, so we're back with the freshies, the oldies.
Oldies edition.
Browns.
Yeah, the Browns, the day olds. Yeah, these are the dollar donuts.
Aren't all donuts a dollar?
I don't know. Some places are $1.10, which is very inconvenient. I was just thinking about recent-ish players. Stick out is a good time.
Yeah.
In terms of Clippers lore, like fan favorites. Which do you personally like? There's a large classic, both literally and figuratively, it sticks out. I mean, Boban has a very interesting place in Clippers lore.
Yeah.
The way that the media team used him was great.
Mm-hmm.
Him and there was, the Bobby and Toby show and everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably did more for this fan base, especially like from a casual perspective than – other than Kawhi and Paul George, I mean, that's got to be way
for
up
sure.
There.
Yeah.
Especially given the time the franchise was at. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Everyone thought things were going horribly wrong.
Yeah.
From an outside perspective.
If you weren't a Clippers fan.
For sure. Yeah. And like, he was big. Yeah. And like, kind of having that identity as this, like, there's kind of some fun to the team.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, he had some memorable games. Like, there's games where there were Boban games, which he loved. And then there were games where it was like, oh, this is maybe why he doesn't get as much playing time.
Yeah, 100%. But it was a show, very much.
Yeah, but he seems like a good time. Great teammate, great locker room guy.
Yeah.
Who do you got on this list?
Man, without having too many people from, like, the exact same era, I got to go Cindarius just because.
Does seem like a fun time if you follow him on social media. Occasionally.
I mean, he was very fun in the locker room.
Yeah.
And just that 17-18 season, I don't know. I was pretty jazzed on the potential of what
pretty
that was
jazzed.
Gonna be.
One word summary of the 17-18 season. Jazzed. Yeah, Sin is really fun. Sin and Montrez had a really funny rapport.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes send on check out send on social media.
Oh, I've seen it. Has some ups and downs. Has some ups and downs.
Send on social media has ups and downs. Not as much as, say, a Patrick Patterson. He doesn't have the lows of a Patrick Patterson. On social media can get a little crazy.
Isn't there just one low, or are there multiple?
There's really just one.
Okay.
But it's like, come on, man. Yeah, Sin was. He also. It was rough watching him get relegated to those weird, like, second starts, like, where he'd get, like, the last, like, 30 seconds of a quarter.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, yeah, this makes sense.
Well, and then he had that, he had the summer league performance against the Kings, where he had like an insane second half.
Yeah.
Shot
was a little up and down.
To say the least.
I'm saying I think my number one has to be Milos. Milos seems like a good time.
Yeah. The way Milos was so exciting.
If you didn't watch that team or haven't ever seen Milos Teodosic cradle a basketball, check him out. One of the most absurd passers
ever.
I think ever. I'm not saying he was efficient. I'm not saying it was like necessarily effective 100% of the time. There's the famous one to DeAndre Jordan, the back over the shoulder, where you're like, yeah, man, like that looks great, but like, what are we doing out here?
The level of effort I love.
Yeah, because it's low effort seemingly, but so difficult to pull off from a vision perspective.
Yeah. Absolutely. He would hit some timely threes too, and I'd be like, oh, all right.
Yeah,
all
like,
right.
Okay, you can do a little more. And then you're like, oh, there's no defense.
He could not stay healthy.
He couldn't stay healthy. His underhanded full court passes are my favorite ones, where he would get the ball in the inbound and just turn around and just roll it off. Almost like he held it in his elbow and he was literally rolling it off his hand.
Yeah.
Man. Fun,
oh, great highlight time.
Great. His summer league. I think I posted his summer league highlights on Twitter. His summer league highlights are fantastic. If you want some, if you're in California, really get deep and like looking for stuff to consume content wise.
Milos
summer league highlights are really good.
Yeah.
Or
like Milos craziest assists.
Yeah. And like the
whole career, not even just his
whole career. Yeah. It's just his whole career. And kind of the split with Milos was a little weird.
Well,
he kind of begrudgingly took the contract because he couldn't find anything in Europe, which is he said. And it just felt a little like, he didn't really want to be here.
Yeah.
Which was fair. We had a bunch of guards.
Yeah. The way that we ended that I didn't love, but the way, there was so many guards. I don't think that he was really happy with his role, but at the same time, I don't know that we could have afforded to give him any larger of a role.
Yeah, for what he was offering, it's kind of like, what do you want us to do?
Yeah, but definitely a fun time.
Also, all the knuckleheads are on this list as well. That goes without saying, I feel like.
Yeah, but are they
forgotten? We went with kind of roots guys. What?
Yeah, but they're
Oh, yeah, no, they're not forgotten. No, not at all.
You got any forgottens? Any forgotties?
Nate Robinson only played 9 games for us. I don't even think he played, but that would have been cool.
Yeah.
I wish Nate seems like a player who, if he would have, well, I don't know. I don't think Sterling maybe would have taken had him on the team, but he seems like a guy who would have maybe played for the Clippers, maybe more so in his prime, but it's also fitting he played at the tail end of his career.
I mean, we had a lot of, I don't know. There was a period there where we were getting all the kind of the victory lap.
Yeah.
Dudes, it felt
I
like.
I guess victory laps. Yeah, like attempted victory lap.
Yeah.
I like this last one you got in here.
Pablo Frigioni.
Yeah, he's probably a good time.
Seems like a fun dude.
Seems like a fun hang. Probably knows all about Cento.
Yeah.
Probably has some spots that he could, restaurant-wise, it's probably a good time to hang.
Yeah, man. Didn't really – I mean, definitely on the verge of forgotten Clippers. Only played a single season, but
– Yeah, I think he's more than on the verge. let us know which X kind of odd here and there Clippers you wanted to hang out with or think they'd be a good time or how you felt about how the team split. I have Willie Reed on this list.
That's a good one.
Truly Willie Reed was always fun to watch play.
We didn't mention Gallo, but he shouldn't be forgotten.
He's not forgotten at all. Yeah. That's the freshies of yesteryear. Coming up after this, we have a kind of all over the place shavings talking about Staples Center. Danny Green had some choice words out of nowhere, and then some throwback uniform possibilities.
All right. So, do we want to kick this off with the Staples news?
Yeah.
So, apparently Staples has reportedly been the source of nearly half the COVID-19 cases in the NBA. And NHL.
Great, good, huge piece came out. Helene Elliott worked on it. It's on LA Times. I believe it's free. Yeah, it's basically about how a bunch of events were happening as a ton of precautionary things were getting bigger and bigger and kind of snowballing. Senators went to the Lakers versus Clippers game. They played the Kings their next game. The Nets came to play the Lakers. They tested positive for it. So there's these kind of like, there's these trails you can kind of follow.
Yes.
Yeah, some of the Senators players, sorry, is what I meant to say, went to the Lakers versus Clippers. Lakers took tests. Two of their players were positive. That was only after the Nets came to play and they tested positive for it.
Yeah.
So.
No Kings or Clippers thus far.
Interesting sentence. It makes me think, so does that mean that the Clippers have been tested? The exact quote is, no members of the Kings or Clippers have tested positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, so I...
The wording of that would suggest to me that possibly testing has happened.
Interesting. Because I'm kind of interpreting it as no news is good news.
That's fair. Do you think they would omit the fact?
I just don't know why they wouldn't have said the fact that the players were tested.
That's fair.
Unless I missed something. If I missed something in the news cycle, feel free to call me out. But
no, I don't think so. I took that as that they'd been tested and they just hadn't tested positive.
That's fair.
I feel like they would have said, like, the Clippers and Kings are awaiting test results or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than say, I don't know. Who knows, though? But no, kind of, and it had me thinking, because when I read the article, it was like, as you read, like, the breakdown of, like, how many things the NBA was putting the clamps on, in terms of, like, high-fiving, like, some of the quotes from some players and stuff like that. And looking back on it, you're kind of like, oof. maybe things shouldn't have been happening as much as they were event-wise. But
I feel like at the same time...
But it was happening. Everything was happening so fast. Like, I'm not saying it shouldn't. I'm not saying that. It's just like, it kind of reading it in day, what is this, six of kind of just hanging out at my house pretty much exclusively. It was interesting to, like, process with that lens on it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's just interesting, like, so much happens at Staples that I feel like you're a little bit, it's not surprising to me, I guess, that a lot of cases are kind of stemming from this one area just because so much happens in so little time there.
Yeah.
That it's like, that's how things spread.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
a lot of exposure to a single thing.
Yeah.
So this being like maybe the epicenter of that, I mean, I guess it's worrisome, but it's not necessarily surprising. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. It's just crazy to think about how fast the news was happening.
Yeah.
Even before, because that was even before all the other stuff happened.
Yeah, definitely.
That was like a couple days before. But yeah, interesting. I mean, good to hear that there's nothing from the Clippers so far about anyone testing positive
or anything like that. If they have been tested.
If they have been tested, which I personally think they do have been. Danny Green went on a podcast and was talking shit kind of out of nowhere. He said, if the Lakers and Clippers do meet each other in the playoffs, those are seven road games for the Clippers. He added that the Clippers should hope and pray they don't meet. Well, the series is 2-1, so I'm not exactly sure where he's getting this perspective from.
This is also absurd to me. Okay. I mean, there's no way that these two don't meet unless something goes.
He added
really
that. He
wrong.
Was like, it seems inevitable we're going to meet. And it's like, yeah, duh.
Yeah. I think we've been saying that for
the whole season.
The entire season. And I don't know. I'm tired of the road games for the Clippers or whatever. It's gotten a lot different, I feel like, this year.
For sure. And I think the team will game the ticket supply somehow.
I just also think it's a playoff. It's playoff, and it's L.A., which is a very fickle fan base. No disrespect, but
Rick Ross might be there. He's a Clippers fan.
There you go. I just feel like in L.A. sports, sometimes it can get a little fickle as to whatever team is winning is getting cheered on. Cheered on.
Yeah. And if the Clippers go in hot as they were kind of before this extended break, that would help the Clippers out, fan support-wise.
Yeah.
I think it'll be all right. I think the Clippers are used to it, and it's totally fine.
I think the thing is I don't know that that's as big of a disadvantage. Like, I mean,
Kawhi's been in front of hostile crowds.
Yes, definitely. And I don't know. I think that when we're talking about home court advantage, I mean, the crowd to me is one small aspect of that. Not even small. It's one aspect of that. Whereas I think, like, the bigger deal is, I don't know, being able to be at your house
routine,
before you have to play a game.
For
yeah.
sure. Yeah, the little things.
Yeah.
Littler things, I guess. Yeah, unless you have a notoriously raucous crowd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. unless it's like, oh, wow, yeah. Which the Clippers don't exactly do yet. Let's just say
it was getting there. Shout out Clipper fans, though.
It was close.
It was starting to get some more raucous.
Yeah, we should talk about that a little bit because the support for the year has been really great to see inside Staples. It was fantastic
from opening night. I feel like the tone was set for this fan base to be like more vocal and at the games, which I like. Like that's
Definitely.
The time to be vocal. Like I'm not really with. Like doing much shit talking or whatever online. If that's you, go for it. Like, great, run with it. But like, I like that it was kind of like the same Clippers mentality of like, oh yeah, Clippers fan, kind of keeping your head down, but then at the game, letting loose.
For sure, it's been nice. There has been some. The wave has been broken out, which has been cool. It's brought back.
I think it died, but
well, because we weren't blowing teams out because it was like it was happening when we were just like crushing teams.
Yeah.
Should have happened during the Nuggets game. Did it?
I don't remember. I feel like that's what I'm saying. I feel like it died down.
Huh. Surprised it didn't. Shout out Joe's Fry Award. He absolutely hates the wave. I'm also not the biggest fan of the wave. It's definitely
not a participant.
You're what?
I'm not a participant.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Just in general.
But yeah, the support's been... Yeah, it's been nice to see. I remember we went to the first... We went to opening night... Last season,
oh yeah,
we lost to the Nuggets, and that guy we scored like 101 points, and there was a guy walking out talking with his wife, and he was like, "Better count that lucky. It's probably one of the only times we're gonna score 100 points all year." We're like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
Yeah, I mean, he also said that like Shea wasn't a good draft pick. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
I don't know. Whatever.
Hope that old guy's doing good. But he was pretty wrong about those two things. Definitely took the under on the Clippers wins total. And then some good news. Mitchell and Ness was taking requests on Twitter for Clippers throwbacks.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. Obviously, there's the obvies. Bob McAdoo, Bill Walton, World Be Free. Could you do a Ralph throwback?
Why not?
What number would it be?
40.
That's a good call. I was going to say a number, yeah. Or what if it's just a mic symbol?
No, I think it should be numbers.
I think it should be 40. Yeah. That would be sweet.
Just a mic, I feel like, would look weird on the jersey.
Yeah. It'd look like a weird video game jersey. Like an NBA Street jersey. Yo, you're on the mics. Obviously, all the knuckleheads will come out. Those
yeah.
might be out. Sam Cassell.
I like that.
Piotkowski. Maybe one that says Polish rifle on the back.
Yeah.
That also, I don't know if they'd do that in 2020 or whenever these are going to come out.
What about one that says Fat Chauncey? Fat Billups. Oh.
I don't think Fat Billups would go down. That'd be rough.
The Grizzled Wizard.
They're probably going to come out with like a Grant Hill one or something. It's just going to be depressing.
Yeah.
That'd be rough.
That'd be super rough.
Anything else in the shavings?
Nah. Let's get out of here.
I don't really got anything else going on. We hope everyone's having a good time.
Yeah.
Washing your hands, staying healthy.
Stay safe.
FaceTiming.
Yeah. Trying to get some calisthenics in.
Yeah, that's
been
big, honestly.
It kind of does wonders for your headspace if you've been having a rough time, you know?
Just if you never...
pop out a couple jumping jacks.
If you never had to watch Sit and Be Fit because you were at home from school and your parents couldn't get off of work, check out Sit and Be Fit. It's on YouTube.
Oh, I'm not even familiar.
Really, it's an old PBS show. It's this old lady. She just like, I don't know, you like sit down, you're like stretching. It's great.
Sounds good. I like it.
Yeah, especially if you're, say, I don't know, stuck in your house. We'll be back with you guys on Tuesday. If you're looking for another podcast to check out Hollinger and Duncan, two of the absolute best in the NBA business.
Best in the biz.
Best in the biz. They're coming at you on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're going to be coming at you guys again tomorrow with Twitter Tuesdays.
Yeah, please get at us on Twitter. Let's get wild.
Yep. Go ahead and send us your question at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike. We are Locked On Clippers. You can find us coming at you 5 days a week. We might get some stream discussions going on sometime this week.
Yeah, I mean,
we got time to kill.
Yeah, maybe we'll stream. Maybe stream tomorrow.
In a couple episodes. We'll figure it out. Thank you so much for listening. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William in the Opinion Update. If you haven't already, please subscribe on iTunes. Leave a rating and a review. We love it. Appreciate you.